Folks, your confession is the bedrock on which you stand. But compassion is what God's going to see on that day to verify your confession. Many of us are all about me. Pray for me, my needs, my sickness, my doctor's visits, my bill, my car. And I do believe in prayer, and I do believe that we need to pray for your needs. But here's the question, what are you doing for the needs of others?
You just heard a portion of the upcoming sermon titled Inheritance by Dr. Abadan Shah of Clearview Church. Here at Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in the way we worship and the way we serve others. We would love for you to come worship with us here at 3485 Oxford Road, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. But for now, join us for the rest of this week's message.
A couple of weeks ago, somebody from our church took me to a sheep farm. Anybody been on a sheep farm before? A couple of you guys. He took me to a sheep farm, and it was an incredible experience for me. What got me was that the sheep knew their owner. And it made me remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, 5, which is, the sheep will by no means follow a stranger. I was a stranger. They didn't know what I would do to them, so they stayed at a distance, and then the owner, he said, why don't you come over here and get a little closer to them and just reach out your hand, start petting them. And I did. And amazingly, they kind of, you know, snuggled up and then wanted me to keep scratching their head. Now, what does that have to do with our message this morning? You see, Jesus is our good shepherd, and he knows each of his sheep, those who belong to him, he knows them by name. Now, you can pretend to be his sheep. You can hang out in the flock, but there is a day of judgment coming when he himself will identify who belongs to him and who doesn't. That is the day of judgment. It is coming. On this side, you can say, Lord, Lord. But on the other side, he gets to decide whether or not you are really his sheep. But here's something very important for us to remember and throughout this message. The test on the other side, per this parable, will not be our confession. The test on the other side will be acts of compassion that we have done in his name. On this side, you can say, I know I'm a Christian because I prayed the prayer. I'm a Christian because I asked Jesus to come into my life, forgive me of my sins. On the other side, you can't use that confession. Confession matters. But what's going to matter is the acts of compassion that you have done in his name, and those who belong to him will inherit the blessings, the treasures. That's where our message comes from, that God has prepared before the foundation of the world, but if you don't belong to him, you are cursed into the everlasting fire. This morning, for those of you who are here for the first time, we're in our series on the parables of Jesus. We come to the parable of the sheep and the goats, and the message is called Inheritance. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Matthew 25, and let's once again stand as we read God's word. Matthew 25, starting in verse 37. It's a long passage, so bear with me, but it's very important. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, keep that title in mind. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit. There's our title, Inheritance. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Pay attention to this verse. And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And then he turns to those who are on the left hand, the goats, and listen to what he says. "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Why? Well, the list goes on again. "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. Thirsty, you did not give me a drink. Stranger, you did not take me in. Naked and did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they will say, "Lord, when did we see all those things?" Listen to the answer in verse 45. "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of this, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This morning, which ones are you? Are you the sheep on the right hand, or are you the goats? Will you receive an inheritance, or will you go into the everlasting fire? What will be your final destiny? On the other side, it's not going to be about your confession. Confession matters. But it's your compassion that authenticates your confession. Where do you stand? And this morning, if you do not know Christ, what a sad reality to go through your whole life, to be in church, to be baptized, to have all this knowledge, and then on the other side to hear, "Depart from me, I don't know you. Because you were not there for me." I believe there are people sitting here this morning who've been in church all your life, or you just got here, but you're lost. Pray right now. Would you join me? Here's the prayer that you need to pray. "Jesus, I don't know everything in the Bible. Or maybe I think I do, but I know one thing. The Holy Spirit just put His finger in my chest. I need to be saved. And so, I know the plan of salvation," or some of you have never heard the plan of salvation. It's simple. It says, "Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins according to Scriptures. You were buried and you rose again according to Scriptures and seen by many. And today I need you to come into my life and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins and take over. I will follow you as you help me." The message of the third parable this morning, the parable of the sheep and the goats, is this. Jesus is coming again. You got to be prepared. You got to use what God has given to you and build His kingdom and expand it. But this time when Jesus comes, He is coming to judge. And His judgment is not based on our confession, but our compassion towards the least of these. So let's look at this parable carefully. So listen again to verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." In other words, Jesus is coming again, but this time He's not coming to be laid in the manger like a little baby. This time He's coming to sit on the throne, the judgment seat. Let's talk about the importance of judgment for a few moments. Repeatedly, Old Testament refers to God as the judge. I can give you many references, but just for our benefit, I'm going to give you three. The first one is Genesis 18, 25. This is Abraham. He is pleading with God for the life of his nephew Lot. And listen to what he says to God. He says in verse 25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Means his designation for God is, "You are the judge of all the earth." Here's another reference, Psalm 75, verse 7. "But God is the," what's the word? "Judge. He puts down one and exalts another." Here's another reference, Isaiah 30, verse 18. "For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him." Now, why is judgment so important for God? You know, many times we talk about God's love and God's mercy and God's sovereignty and God's wisdom and power, But we don't focus as much on God's judgment. Why is judgment so important for God? Listen carefully. Because God's judgment is the natural outflow of God's holiness. You say, why is judgment necessary? Judgment is necessary because of one three-letter word, which is sin. Sin has brought disruption in God's world. Sin has brought disruption to the holiness of God, and the reason for that is, you know the story, you know what happened with Adam and Eve. But sin has disrupted, and judgment is straightening things out. It has to happen. You say, well, I don't know about that. Folks, you don't understand the holiness of God, neither do you understand the horribleness of sin. Of course, he has done that judgment on the cross, where he has judged sin. And when you and I receive Jesus as our Savior, what we're saying is, I can't pay the penalty for my sins, but Jesus took the penalty of my sin on the cross. He has done it and has satisfied the wrath of God. You know, when this holiness is disrupted, what comes is wrath. It's anger over sin. Sin has to be purged. Sin has to be punished. But you and I can't take it, so he did it on his own son, and hence judgment. But don't forget, there is still judgment coming based on what we did with Jesus Christ and what we did with his word. There is a connection between holiness and judgment. Let me give you a couple of references very quickly. Isaiah 5:16. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in, what's the word? Judgment. God is going to be exalted in judgment. So keep that word in mind, judgment. And God who is holy. You see the connection between the holiness and the judgment of God? Listen to Psalm 50, verse 1. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Perfection. It's another name for holiness. The perfection of beauty. God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. Our God shall come. First time when he came, it was to take the judgment of sin upon himself. Second time he's coming is to judge us. What did you do with what I did for you? Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may what? Judge his people. Judge his people. Gather my saints together to me. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. It is because God is holy, God is also our judge. Folks, if we don't believe that, go home. Why be here, right? But it all goes back to the holiness. If this is a problem for you, of course you're not going to believe in this. But what's unique in this parable? This is where we come back to the parable. What is unique in this parable is not just that God is the judge, but now Jesus is given the role of the judge. Listen again to verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. It's not just God when he comes, but it's the Son of Man. The same thing is found again a chapter later, Matthew 26, verse 64. Listen to this. Jesus is talking back to the high priest, and he says to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see Son of Man, sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Folks, that designation, Son of Man, many of you who've studied the Bible, is coming from Daniel. It's a fulfillment of a prophecy that he is coming. The one who was prophesied, who was promised, is coming. Son of Man, you may think it just means Jesus was also human. No, it means that Jesus was God. And who gave him this authority? Well, listen to John chapter 5 and verse 26. It's on the screen. Listen to this. For as the Father, who are we talking about? the Father, but listen to verse 27, has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. He is the only one authorized and has earned the right to sit in the judgment seat before us. Because on the judgment day, none of us can say, yeah, you can judge us, but then again, you're God. You don't understand what we've been through. You don't understand what Jesus is going to say. Stop right there. I know what you go through because I became man. I became fully man. I walked in your shoes. Have you heard people say that? You don't know what it's like to be me unless you walk in my shoes. Jesus says, hey, I walked in your shoes. He has earned the right to be our judge. First time he came to give his life, but this time he's coming to judge. And what will this judgment be about? Listen to verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before him. The Old Testament does talk about a judgment of the nations. A judgment of the nations. Listen to Joel chapter 3, verse 2. It says, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them. On account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. Means this judgment is coming because of how people and nations have treated God's people through history. There's a judgment coming. Folks, I don't understand everything there is to understand about prophecy and eschatology, but I know this much, there will be this judgment based on how nations and peoples and even civilizations have treated the people of Israel. And that's why you always hear me say, be careful, especially about our day in which we live, about anti-Semitism. Be careful. But get back to the parable. In the midst of this judgment of the nations, there will also be a judgment of compassion. The sheep are put on the right side, and the goats are put on the left side. By the way, this does not mean that sheep are better than goats, okay? But what is the positive judgment towards the sheep? Again, like we read, verse 34, it says, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They get the inheritance. On what basis? As we read, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And their question is, when? When did we do these things to you? Now listen to his response. In verse 40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the, what's this? Least of these, my brethren or my brothers. Now go back to the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount of Olives. He is talking to his disciples. He's telling them how things will be at the end of the age when he returns. But if you picture in your mind what it looked like, Jesus was always surrounded by a multitude. Thousands followed him. And who were the multitude? The sheep without a shepherd. Who were the multitude? The hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the destitute, the sick, waiting for a miracle. Please do a miracle for us. Heal us. So when Jesus is saying here, listen again to that verse, verse 40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, who is he talking about? He's talking about the poor, the less fortunate who are around Jesus and throughout history. When you're meeting their needs, you're meeting my needs. But now, how about the goats on the other side? Well, we just read that passage, verse 41. He will say to them, what? Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you know that God did not prepare hell for you? He was prepared for the devil and his angels. But when you reject Christ, when you reject the gospel, you're going to the same place where the angelic beings who disobeyed God are sent. And their response is, when did we not do these things? What does it say? Very simple. When you refuse to help those who are hungry, when you refuse to help those who are thirsty, when you refuse to help the stranger, when you refuse to help the naked or the sick or those in prison, in the process, you didn't help Christ. And what will be their reward? Listen to this. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. A few weeks back, we did the I Am the Neighbor project. That project involved these tiny crosses, and per family or per family unit. You may be a single person, but that's your family. You may be a couple, or you may be a family with many kids, but each family got a cross with $100 bills. You know, that Sunday, that weekend, we gave away $25,000. Based on this, means use your money, your resources, to help those in need. I don't know why it is, but God keeps bringing that same truth back. And this morning, that truth comes in a way that you cannot reject, you cannot deny. Because on the day of judgment, it's not our confession. We are descendants of the Reformation, right? The confession of faith. I'm saved by grace through faith, justification by faith. On that side, that's not what Jesus is looking for, because many will come and say, what, Lord, Lord, what is it based on? The acts of compassion. And we gave you those $100 bills to go help people in need, simply to prime the pump, so you will start doing those things. So on the day of judgment, God can say, yes, when you gave that money over there to that homeless man, or you helped that family that had been through a fire, or you helped that couple that was having a tough time, or you helped someone pay their bills, that in the process you were helping me. Welcome to the inheritance. And when you have said no, many of us are such, you know, we think we're CIA agents. We know how to figure people out. I know what he's up to, and I know what he's going to do with that money. When we become that, hey, listen, be careful, because on the other side, the question is, when did we see you and didn't do it? When you didn't do to the least of these, my brothers, you didn't do it for me. Can I ask you this morning? Will your acts of compassion that you've done, the things you've done for others, are they enough for you to enter into heaven? Sometime back, I was preaching at a church towards the Outer Banks, actually 3 years ago, and the kind of one of those county seat Methodist churches. A lot of people came. I said, you know, I need to leave. I have some things to do Thursday morning. I need to go. And the pastor, a good friend of mine, he said, look, there's a big snowstorm coming. There's no way you're going to make it. I said, well, no, I got to go. I can get out. But guess what? All these people, hundreds of them, are there talking to me, shaking hands with me. And one of the families said, can we take you out for a cup of coffee before you leave? Now, keep in mind, the girls had already left. Nicole and the two girls had already went back that afternoon. So I had the two boys with me. I said, yeah, let's go get a cup of coffee, and got some donuts and whatnot. I said, all set. But they said, you know, look, it doesn't look good. We're watching the Weather Channel. It does not look good. You may want to stay. That's not going to work. So I left. And 10 minutes down the road, realized what a big mistake. I could not even see from here to that pew. I mean, the snow was coming down. And then I had to get on this narrow bridge. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. This narrow bridge, and the sides are no higher than this. I think they're trying to repair that bridge and, you know, build up the sides. Finally, I get off that bridge, but the snow is worse now. And if you've been that side towards the Outer Banks, there's swamp on both sides, and I cannot see the line. I don't know if this is the road or I'm about to go into the swamp, okay? I mean, they have bears and they have snakes and alligator swamp. Okay, there you go. I'm like, that's great. Oh, they're hibernating. They'll wake up for us, you know, fresh food. So I'm thinking, this is so bad, so bad. I'm driving, I mean, miles and miles of nothing. And then I see a light. I'm thinking, there's a home there. So I pull in there, making sure I don't go off the side or get into a drain. So I get up there, knock on the door. Guy comes out. I said, look, sir, I just need to park here. I can't even see where I'm going. I said, I wouldn't even worry about me. I would just pull over the side of the road. But my boys are here with me. They're really young. And I just can I just park here? I don't need to come into your house. We don't need to use anything. We're just going to stay here until morning. Then we'll drive off. Maybe figure out what to do. You know what he said to me? No. He said, man, you need to keep on going. I want you to think about it for a moment. That man on the street, that person that you knew needed help, and you walked away, could it be that you said no to Christ? Folks, I didn't make this up. This is not me. The big question is, doesn't this contradict the doctrine of justification by faith? This is the old Paul versus James debate. Well, listen to what Paul says in Galatians 5:13. You know, the defense of the gospel, don't adulterate it. Even if an angel comes, don't mess with it. Listen to what Paul says, because we miss this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. Did y'all get that? Don't use this as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall what? Love your neighbor. You say, well, Ephesians. Doesn't it say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and the not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works. It's not about how what you've done for people is going to matter unless anyone should boast. Well, the very next verse says what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, the good works. Folks, your confession is the bedrock on which you stand, but compassion is what God's going to see on that day to verify your confession. Now, doesn't it say, Pastor, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? My suggestion is keep reading. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Folks, this morning there are people sitting here today who will hear on that day, depart from me. Because when you saw people in need, you didn't do anything. Now, I'm really blessed to be a pastor of this church because, you know, in this church we're doing a lot for our community, especially the inner city community, especially the underprivileged. We're doing a lot. I mean, we're fixing homes. We're providing homes for people. We're giving people things like dentures. I mean, can you imagine living your whole life and you can't even chew, you know? We're providing those kind of things for people. The Bear Care Ministry, jackets for children, jackets for adults. You know, the Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis's play, that's going to be on the 8th. I hope all of you will be here for that. It'll be phenomenal. But we have a Fill the Wardrobe ministry there. So bring your gently used, and I would prefer new jackets if you can. Give it to people who are in need. We're going to try to go through Acts, our soup kitchen, to find ways to give people a nice jacket. Finding ways, because in the process, we are serving Christ.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. Are you among the sheep or the goats? On that day, will God see what you've done for others, or will He say, depart into everlasting fire? For more information and for this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com, and to find out more about Clearview, visit our website at clearviewbc.org. We would love for you to join us this Christmas season for our Christmas play, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe, on December 8th at 7, or for our Christmas concert, The Gift, on December 14th and 15th at 7. We hope to see you there.